anything and everything.
Do you ever wonder how to? Do you ever wonder why?
About anything and everything. Then Dorice is your guide. Anything and everything will open your mind. Anything and everything with Dorice. Anything and everything with Dorice is online. Remember.
Remember.
Anything and everything with Dorice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. You are listening to the Anything and Everything with Dorice podcast, and I am your host, Dorice. This episode is brought to you by WYSK Spark Radio, where they play uplifting music to get you through the day. You can find it on Live 365 Spark Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I hope you're having a blessed day. With all going on in the world today, just remember, God has this, and He does take care of His children. Last year, I spoke about the occult, and I even reran it in January, and I told you that I would go further into more details later. Well, now I am receiving several questions about Luciferianism, and that many people are beginning to see it worldwide. Without going into details with names or specific governments, I will go into further details of their beliefs to help you understand how they can do the horrendous things they do and not even bat an eye. Then you will be able to look around at what is going on today around our country, around our world, and recognize the spiritual war that is happening. According to Wikipedia, Luciferianism is a belief system that venerates the essential characteristics that are affixed to Lucifer. The tradition, influenced by Gnosticism, usually reveres Lucifer not as the devil, but as a destroyer, a guardian, a liberator, a light bringer, or a guiding spirit to darkness, or even the true God, as opposed to Jehovah. Though associated with Satanism, a philosophy based on the Christian interpretation of the fallen angel, Luciferians differ in that it does not revere merely the devil figure or Satan, but the broader figure of Lucifer, an entity representing various interpretations of the morning star, as understood by ancient cultures such as the Greeks and the Egyptians. In this context, Lucifer is a symbol of enlightenment, independence, and human progression. While Luciferians do not have a specific ideology, it can include a New Age type of spirituality or an occultic spirit of worship. You will learn this by asking those people who admit to being a Luciferian, and note that you will get many different types of answers. However, many hold remarkably close ideologies, even though they may differ in other ways. They do not look at Lucifer as the Satan in the King James Version Bible. They look at him as the day star in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. But make no mistake, he is the Satan of the Bible. Principles of Luciferianism is about choosing rather than idolizing. They believe in the freedom to act. Do whatever you need to do as long as you understand and accept the consequences. You should delight in prosperity and pleasures of the flesh. They believe it is okay to mistreat others if you feel it is warranted. You have no burden to treat others better than you feel they deserve. They do not seek followers or try to convert others. However, they do see themselves as an elite group of self-determined people with full dedication to the same principles. Individualism is important to personal development. They dedicate themselves to protecting the earth and its natural resources. Knowledge is enlightenment, not faith. That reminds me of the serpent telling Eve about the tree of knowledge, now doesn't it? While many of these things sound good, they are entangled in New Age and satanic or occultic beliefs, and the belief that there is no sin, just consequences for choices made. If you look at pictures of the Luciferian image, God of the Witches, this pose is a winged man with a goat head, his first two fingers and thumb pointing upward on one hand, and downward on the other hand, and has a staff with two serpents similar to the medical staff in his lap. This imagery represents the old magical creed, that which is above is the same as which is below. Before we go any further, let's look at what this Luciferian doctrine is all about. We should first study the meaning of the word as it was originally created in Latin. This Latin word derives from lucerne, which means light, and fer, which means to bear. In other words, a light bearer. In fact, some will want you to believe that the word Lucifer is nothing more than a type error, that its placement within the Bible was a mistake that had nothing to do with the fallen angel. If this is true, then Lucifer has become the most powerful type error of all time. For even though the word is only mentioned in the very earliest version of the King James Bible, the word has been used in many other texts and has had great influence and meaning for many philosophies within the occult. To get a grasp on the depth of this subject, we must travel back to the very beginning of civilization. To start, let's look at why Babylon was such a big deal within the context of the Bible. Why has it been used in metaphor and reference to evil more often than any other nation within the Bible, right up to Revelation? For those who have studied the occult for decades, they point out that some of the main sources of influence are Babylon and Egypt. They even go so far as to say that you can find most of the roots to most of the pagan gods in these two areas of the world. The Sumerians were the instigators of most magical beliefs, and their ancient text has been a huge influence even in today's UFOlogy. The best way for us to connect the dots and get a complete picture of this mysterious entity, which has been called Lucifer, is to start in recent times and work backward. To do this, let us all head back to the year 1966. This is an important year, for a lot of things were happening, while as strange as it may appear at first, was connected. This was, of course, during the time of the hippie movement, or free love. This is the same year that LSD and other psychedelics became illegal in the United States. Timothy Leary was in jail, and the Vietnam War was raging. Many call it year one for the age of Satan, or Anno Satanas in Latin. This is when Anton LaVey officially started his church on May 1, 1966. Anton claimed he was presenting some new concepts, but what he was doing was reintroducing and repackaging concepts that have its roots in the earliest of history. We can track some of the concepts that LaVey used in the Satanic Bible back to other sources that claim to be a translation of a magical text that was said to be associated with an Egyptian mage named Amberlin or Ambromelin, who taught a system of magic to Abraham of Worms, who was said to be a German Jew who lived from about 1362 to around 1458. This is a book that was translated by Samuel Liddell MacGregor Mathers to English from German. This book is the Sacred Book of Amberlin the Mage. Now, the interesting part about this is that in this book, it was said to be connected to the Hebrew Kabbalah, and it refers to Lucifer. It is also important to understand that Mathers was one of the founders of the Golden Dawn. This magical order has become one of the most influential organizations in modern occultism. Samuel Mathers was one of the main mentors of Aleister Crowley. These two men are said to be the elite of the 20th century occults, and yet they did not have a problem with Lucifer coming from a manuscript that was said to originate from Hebrew. It does seem strange, does it not? For those who are not familiar with Aleister Crowley, he has been the most authoritative influence of modern occultism. For not only did he excel in the ranks of the Golden Dawn, he went on to create his own religion, complete with its own age, the Aeon of Horus. Aleister Crowley had a strong connection with what he saw as Lucifer and Horus. It was while he was in Egypt that he said he was contacted by an entity he would call Awas, who he claimed dictated the book of the law to him. This would be the god of his new religion, which he would call Thelema. Besides his extensive involvement in the occult, he was also a poet who wrote a poem about Lucifer, which I will not read. You can look it up if you are interested in it. However, it will be Aleister who leads us back to the Sumerian culture, the very cradle of civilization. For as he looked back on his life and his views about this alleged spirit that was said to contact him in Egypt, he made the following statement. And I quote, "I am now inclined to believe that Awas is not only the god once held holy in Samaria and my own guardian angel, but also a man as I am, in so far as he uses a human body to make his magical link with mankind, whom he loves." End quote. So let's take a peek at these so-called gods and how they showed their love for mankind. The first thing that I notice is when I read the translation of the Sumerian text, there was a strong belief that humans were the slaves of the gods of this ancient city known as Samaria. These gods that have become known as the Anunnaki were said to have created humans to mine gold. This slave mentality must have found its way into the subconscious of the culture. And yet, when the descendants of the Sumerians built Babylon, they did not perceive themselves as slaves, and instead went about conquering and enslaving every country they could. Was it their way to compensate for the fact that their ancestors were once slaves themselves? It is time to turn the Bible verse that is at the heart of this whole discussion, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 3-27. It is important to study all the verses that relate to this subject, and then to understand the context in which they are delivered. For I strongly feel that these verses are not only talking about a king of Babylon, but the spirit behind everything Babylon did and still represents today. To clarify my point, let's look at the purpose behind the book of Isaiah. Like the book of Daniel, Isaiah deals with prophecies that help illuminate God's plan of salvation and God's judgment of the wicked. Therefore, it is believed that some of the symbolism in Daniel can be applied to Isaiah's time as well. Isaiah's words were not just intended for the children of Israel, but also as a direct message to the Assyrian Empire. The most obvious reason for drawing this conclusion is what is declared by the Lord of Heaven's armies, starting with verse 22. I have risen against Babylon. I will destroy its children and its children and its children's children. He, meaning God, promises to make Babylon a desolate place and to sweep the land with destruction. Now then, if we explore just a bit farther into this, we should take a peek at Daniel and what is said about the spirit prince of the king of Persia in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. This is just one illustration that may be applied to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 10. The spirits of world leaders and mighty kings long dead. Seems to me that Isaiah is addressing someone with a bit more power that can be represented by a mortal king. We may conclude that God, through his prophet Isaiah, was confronting a spiritual presence. This is the same spirit that God has given the title, the Satan. This is again addressed in Ezekiel chapter 28. For it begins speaking about the prince of Tyre, and yet Ezekiel switches gears in verses chapter 1 through 19, and begins addressing a spirit which was the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. This glorious being was blameless until evil was found in him. Verse 15. Before I continue with this doctrine that some claim to be the philosophy of the Freemasons and other secret organizations, I would like to share two quotes that sum up what I have been trying to explain. The two quotes are from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, using the King James Bible, and a passage from Aleister Crowley. I will start with Ephesians and then move into Aleister's view of Lucifer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The bottom line is that life is a war involving two spiritual governments, and we, as humans, must decide which side we are on. Now, I will not read the entire hymn to Lucifer, but the last line says, the key to joy is disobedience. While many people in the occult say they do not believe in God or that God is just a concept, then where is the disobedience? Remember, the earlier principles of Luciferians is to do what you like if you accept the consequences. Disobedience from who or what? Man's laws? Which, by the way, basically come from the Ten Commandments, which come from Jehovah God. Before I close, I would like you to consider one more statement, which is, in fact, one of the most profound and conclusive statements to do with the occult theory, and that is, that which is above is the same as that which is below. It is this one statement that is said to be behind all magical principles. Now, doesn't this remind you of the serpent's original lie in the Garden of Eden? You will be like gods, knowing both good and evil. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Be sure to check out our show notes below, where you can donate to support us, check our references, or see what else we offer. Thank you for listening, and God bless.